It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and co-founder, or co-owner and co-founder of the Millerton Veterinary Practice. I think that's it. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Hello, Jill Goodman.
Is that right? Yes, yes.
Well, founder and co-owner, I suppose.
Yes.
Founder and current co-owner, yes.
Because founder would come first. As the founder of Tri-State Public,
yes.
Of Robin Hood Radio.
And I'm not retiring or going anywhere.
I know, and I have to keep telling people that you're not, so I'm glad you said that. Because it's just...
people are asking me.
Yeah, and I just answer... without speaking to you, I answer for you. So just so you know, you're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere, no.
And with that, Ryan and Newberg, my girlfriend and I are scoping out dogs on Pet Finder. The thing is, once you pick a dog out, they ship it from Tennessee or wherever, and at that point, it's sort of a done deal. I know the dogs are probably checked out by a vet, but are there any specific questions we could be asking the folks fostering the dogs during the phone interview process? Questions that would reveal potential health issues. Thanks.
The dogs are checked by a veterinarian. They have to have a health certificate. But basically, the health certificate is saying that they have no, in order to cross state lines, that they have no signs of infectious or contagious disease. So it doesn't cover lots of things. So what I would recommend and what I often recommend people is they ask about skin disease. You know, is this an itchy dog? Do they have chronic skin disease? Because that can be very costly for a new owner, pet parent. Maybe it's something that clearly all dogs deserve to have good homes, but you have to consider what you can afford to take care of.
And the way you ask that question, my ear detected.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, is he an itchy dog? And then see if you're getting some hemming and hawing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And are there little places for itch? Like, let's say, well, yeah, you know, he scratches from time to time, but, you know, he licks his paws a lot. You know, like, are there little things, little flagging?
Yeah, I mean, licking the paws a lot, then you can ask, if he's licking the paws a lot, are the paws saliva stained? It's that reddish, rust-colored stain on the paws. That tells me that we have chronic licker.
Okay.
And dogs with, you know, chronic paw licking, then they tend to have environmental allergens. They might not be so allergic in the north compared to the south, but you never know. Are they on any medication? I mean, I would assume that they would tell you that up front, but I would ask, is there any medication that they're currently on, and are any special shampoos?
Okay. And how about, just got wormed. The stool's a little loose, but that's normal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit less tricky. If you've got a dog who you can see in the photo is normal weight and has diarrhea, then, you know, they're all going to come with parasites.
Okay.
So, yeah, something that you want to have checked out right away.
Okay.
You can see in the paperwork whether they've been dewormed, but there are various different kinds of ways to deworm. Giardia has become, you know, it's just everywhere. And so the good news is that many of these dogs have developed a resistance to Giardia, so that's not a bad thing. And dogs tend to, as they get older. So I would ask about, I would guess that most people would ask about behavior. One of the most important things is, can this dog be left alone? So dogs are returned to shelters because they have separation anxiety, or maybe they end up in shelters because of that, and it is the big COVID problem is separation anxiety, where you can't leave the dog alone or it's going to rip your house apart. And besides the fact that that poor creature is super stressed about being left alone, you might ask, are they crate trained? It's nice to have a dog new in your house that has already been crate trained, but not something that's going to keep you from adopting them, I wouldn't think. Does this dog greet people? If the dog doesn't greet someone who walks in the house and they run and hide, you know, that's a whole other set of issues that, that you just know that you need to deal with, having a dog who is super anxious or not well socialized. You need to consider what do you want to do with your pet. You know, if you want to be able to have a social being, then it might not be the dog for you. I would ask if the dog has a heart murmur. Not that means terrible things necessarily, but that should be disclosed to you. You know, can she walk and run normally? You know, it's not so hard these days to adopt out a dog who has musculoskeletal problems. There are lots of people who are ready to do that. But it's something that you should know about ahead of time. You know, can she jump up into the car? That kind of thing. Has she ever ridden in the car? So it depends on, I guess, how many things that you want to know about. But as far as health in general, what I have seen in the past is a lot of skin diseases. And when the dog comes in to me, then people say, well, I was told by the shelter that that he just had an infection, which is, you know, clearly an infection is not the case, because you can, you know, I can tell that the skin is thickened, that this has been going on forever. You have an itchy dog, and now, you know, now it's become your problem, and may be a very costly patient. So those are the kinds of questions that you want to ask about, and if it's something that you think that you can deal with, then great, go for it.
All right. And I just, this is one of my famous side notes, okay, because I was just listening to a different show about a really cool-sounding woman who had been teaching classes, and everybody wanted, it had to do with gardening and when to prune, okay, and everybody wanted an exact, because they're so app-oriented, they wanted an exact, they needed the exact time and, you know, time and temperature. They needed a metric for when to do it. And she's like, well, you know, actually, you have to look at the plant.
Yeah, living beings.
Right.
A whole different deal. Yep.
And so I just want to say to anybody doing this, and that, you know, yes, there is a point where living beings, whole different deal, and you just have to have room for that. Cause
yes, yeah, right. So keep your expectations sort of...
That
you
living
know.
Being whole different deal. That's like, sure, we can do a checklist. And it's not a failure on anybody's part if living being has a whole different thing.
Right. You know, that being said, you know, many, many, many of the dogs that come from the South are great. They have been socialized, and they're just too many dogs because they don't believe in spaying and neutering. Or there's not the access to spaying and neutering or something. I don't know. I don't really know what the deep problem is. But
there are plenty of dogs, and some of them, a good percentage of them are way cool. And
it's
so that's kind of why I mentioned, you know, it's almost become de rigueur to have have the accessory of dog. If you ever see any adverts, anything like that, all dog all the time. It's wonderful, happy, love
it
dogs,
is.
Love watching dogs.
It's really
dogs.
Become a wonderful thing in this country.
So
people are so open to having dogs with problems too, which is fantastic.
Right, and that's as long as you have the your little living being switch turned on, it's a fantastic thing. However, if you're doing this out of this is an app and this is a this and I've checked this off, and you're going to have a different experience. That's
right.
That's all I wanted to add. Or say, if that's okay.
It's very important.
All right. Then let's move on to Lisa in Poughkeepsie. Last spring, my 3-year-old male Newfie had to have a ruptured salivary gland removed. Now he's got another swollen salivary gland that looks like it's going to require another procedure. Is there anything preventative that can be done so this doesn't keep happening, or some kind of alternative therapy?
Well, that is frustrating, I'm sure. So what this is called situation is called is a mucocele, and it happens when the duct from the salivary gland leaks into the surrounding tissue. So So the glands, there are glands all around the face and mouth, and they produce saliva, and it goes through a tiny little tube called a duct. And the duct can be broken, and for whatever reason, if the salivary duct is broken, if the salivary duct is broken for whatever reason, then the saliva leaks out into the surrounding tissue, and then you get all this inflammation that's caused by the saliva in a place where it's not supposed to be, and that can cause more damage to the salivary gland and to the duct itself. The reason that this is usually some sort of traumatic injury. So think about the use of a choke collar, which many people understand the problems with those and don't use them anymore, but potentially pulling on a choke collar, chewing on sharp objects like sticks can cause that kind of thing. It seems really odd that it's happened twice. A bite wound can cause that, really rough play. You know how puppies will chew on the cheeks of dogs? So super rough play, that type of thing. There isn't sort of anything magical as far as preventing the defect in the duct itself. You know, anti-inflammatories can sometimes help if it's caught right away to prevent further damage to the to the gland itself. The problem being is that, you know, you can't repair that duct, it's too small. And so it's a tough situation, and it's really unfortunate that this is twice. But I wonder if maybe some of the things that I talked about will clue this person into thinking about maybe this 3-year-old Newfie is playing with another dog that's super rough around the face.
Hanging
off of the cheek.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I saw, yes, you know, you never know what critter is going to be hanging off, at least in my household, you never know who's going to be hanging off of who. Or going back a long, long time, one of the dogs always had the cat's head, you know, down to her neck, and she loved it, in his mouth.
Yeah.
Did you just, you know, you'd walk in and you'd see a cat body from the...
And if they do that, dogs who do that tend to be much more soft mouthed and gentle with the cat. But
oh, yeah.
when they're playing, they can be super rough, as we all know.
Yes. Okay. Mei Ling in Brooklyn, our cat Kicker has been waking up in the middle of the night, yowling relentlessly. When we get up and check it out, there's nothing wrong that we can see. He'll be just standing there, basically screaming at the wall. When we pick him up and cuddle him, he seems to calm down, but it's driving us nuts because it's every night at about 3 a.m. Kicker is a neutered male, and we're not 100% sure of his age, but it's either 15 or 16.
So this is not a terribly uncommon situation. You know, it is a behavior change, and it happens at nighttime, and it's an older cat, and sometimes is associated, well, not infrequently, is associated with a physical condition like hyperthyroidism. Hyperthyroidism probably is the most common thing that I find with cats who yowl during the night. Typically, they also eat a lot and lose weight, or at least lose weight. Kidney disease, liver disease are possible, too. Kidney disease is more common, certainly. So when you see a behavior change, you want to have that checked out right away. With Chinese medicine, this is... all makes sense with older animals. As they get older and dried out a bit, our yang energy all has to do with the morning time, brightness and energy in our bodies, and our yin is associated with darkness and calm and helps us sleep at night. So these cats are definitely yin deficient for whatever reason. Yin deficiency is often associated with hormonal issues like thyroid disease. So it's really not an uncommon situation. So yin deficiency, so what you need to do is figure out what is causing it. There can be some dementia associated too with yin deficiency, and that is really, we think, probably reduced blood supply to the brain. And so having the integrative medicine approach, where you figure out if there's something treatable with Western medicine, such as hyperthyroidism and kidney disease, and then also doing the Chinese medicine for both of those things and for yin deficiency in general, not a bad idea.
And how would you go about that? Would you first say go to your regular vet, or would you just...
Yeah, go to your regular vet first and try to find out what's happening.
Okay.
And if they don't find anything, then go to someone who practices alternative medicine.
All right. No, because the yin deficiency, or talk to the person who we once had a yowling cat, and again, going back a long, long, long time. And I said, "What is she doing?" And he said, "Can't you see? It's flying saucers." And he was right.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, right. Because cats do see things. I hate to sound like this, but his point was cats see things that you have no idea that they're seeing.
That's true. But we would hope that they would see them during the day instead of at night. But
no chance. I mean,
sometimes it happens during the day as well. Cats tend to be, you know, cats are born as nocturnal, but they tend to switch that around because they live with us. So they sleep a lot at nighttime. And then when they can't settle, then that is a problem with yin deficiency.
No, I totally understand, and I'm sure that, you know, I don't know what the coding is in veterinary insurance, but I'm sure that there isn't one for flying saucers. All right.
Probably. It's a pre-existing condition.
Lisa in New Paltz. I feel kind of nauseous even saying this. But we just realized our golden retriever mix has been catching and eating frogs out of our pond. Please advise.
Sorry. So, yeah, dogs will do that.
Yeah.
They do that. So you have to keep them out of the pond.
Okay.
So toads, my dog catches toads out on the lawn, and the toad is worse. You know, we try to get the poor toads from him. He's a real hunter. And the toads always make him hypersalivate because of that awful, there's some sort of awful chemical.
Right.
I don't think the frogs have that because I've seen dogs who kill frogs, and they seem to do fine. They're eating more than the legs usually. But they will because of their, you know, their hunting instincts. And so, you know, keeping them out of the pond is the only thing that you can do about that.
Okay. Or just be happy that it's not a toad.
Be happy it's not a toad, exactly.
All right. Frank in Albany, trying to put this delicately. My dog's back door used to be pink, and now it is kind of purple. Problem or no? Dog is 5.
Back door.
It's one way of putting it.
I have never heard of that, I'm assuming.
Nor have I. I would say butt, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think anus, I would guess, because the rest of the butt's covered with hair.
Yes, so. except that I have to confess that a long time ago, I couldn't come up with the word anus. And
uh-huh.
I just had the other one, and I didn't want to be so crude. But it's like, what is with this? So,
yeah.
We'll go back door if you can't think of anus.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's okay.
All right.
So, was pink and is now purple. So that usually means that there's some disruption of blood supply. So I would be concerned about an internal growth potentially of some kind, and definitely have that checked out with by a veterinarian with a glove on who can do a rectal exam. There are sometimes growths that can happen inside the anus. Maybe there's something going on around, too, that you haven't checked out. And
do you have doggy hemorrhoids? Is there such a thing?
They get, you know, not... They can get, yes, but not. It's not as common, I think, as it is in people. So it's sort of different things that happen. It's more growths... you can, if you've got a dog who's chronically straining for whatever reason, you can get a little blep there that comes out when they push. But there are also all kinds of other things. There are perianal fistulas, which are super painful and very difficult to treat. It's an autoimmune or immune-mediated problem. There are anal gland problems that can cause issues, too. So this really warrants a physical exam, and if nothing is found, then, you know, just sort of, if there's no symptoms and nothing else is found in the area, then something that you would just continue to observe.
All right, because, again, from this delicately, cut to the chase question, it doesn't seem as though there's anything else going, you know, other than...
Maybe not, yeah, in the five-year-old dog. So, yeah, so there's no indication of licking, right, or scooting.
No, nothing.
And 5 years old, less likely, sorry to interrupt, less likely to have a mass of some kind. And so not really sure, but I definitely would check. If you've noticed a physical change like that, absolutely have it checked out before it gets to be a real problem.
And I'm just going to not only endorse that, but remind that one of the first things that you have once you do have your creature in your life is that it is your job not to just be so like accustomed to, well, that's what you actually have to look, because sadly, until a situation is really more severe, they're not going to, you know, they're going to come up to you, but they're not going to say, hey, stop for 1 second, stop, because I need to talk to you because my foot hurts, or, well, I've got like a sore in my, that's not what they do.
Right.
And so that, as they're human, that's your job.
Exactly. I agree. Hear, and I think it's a lot easier to take your dog to the vet than to keep him out of the pond.
Okay. This is one of the reasons that I've always been a fan of your veterinary abilities. Because,
practicality.
Yeah. Well, I had this with a squirrel. There are certain things that depending on your environment, there are certain environmental things that you just have to survive. All right, we've got 2 minutes. I hope we've got time for this. So I'm just going to try, because I don't know the answer. I'm not the vet. All right, Avery and Lee, I was promised a kitten from my neighbor's cat litter. My neighbor's cat's litter, okay. They're still nursing and a little under 4 weeks old. What I picked out has been diagnosed with something called fading kitten syndrome. My neighbor says I should pick another kitten because this one's not likely to make it, but I really want to help try to save him, and I'm willing to spend the money, time, and energy. What can I do for him?
So this is not a quick answer, but fading kitten syndrome is a thing, and it's because it's called a syndrome, it is multifaceted.
Okay.
So kittens often don't survive when they are failing to thrive, basically. Happens usually before 5 weeks of age, but can happen, I guess, up till they're weaned at 8 or 9 weeks. And they fail to grow well. They might be smaller than the other cats. They don't suckle well. Usually they don't suckle well. They don't stay warm. They tend to be cold little babies, and they tend to cry a lot. You know, we don't know whether they're uncomfortable, they're hungry, whatever it is. But it can happen with kittens in a litter. It happens more commonly with large litters of kittens, and it happens more commonly with kittens who are being raised by people, if they've been abandoned and they're abandoned by mom. The causes might be that the mother was not well-fed when she was pregnant, so we may have low birth weight kittens at the beginning. There can be anemia also. It's called neonatal isoerythrolysis.
Wow.
And kittens can get anemia if they're a different blood type than the mom.
All right, so I have to, because you're right, it's not a short answer and we're going to run out of time, but is there any reason why?
There can be lots of underlying reasons, so you have to take them to the vet and get everything checked out, absolutely everything, and then they can tell you what you can do to try to save this kitten. But it's not always, they're not always savable.
All right, but what I would say to Avery, who seems to have an interest in attempting it, is by all means, snag the cat, take the bit, you know, see what you can do.
You can feed milk replacer.
Yep.
You can, lots of things that you can do. Keep them really, really, really warm.
Right, and so just, you know, take a whack at it. Anyone who wants to do that, by all means, please take a whack at it. Thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you.
And we will continue this anon. This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.